morning.
Good morning.
Good morning, lips. When I am gone, release me, let me go. I have so many things to see and do. You mustn't tie yourself to me with tears. Be happy that we had so many years. I gave you my love, and you can only guess how much you gave me in happiness. I thank you for the love you each have shown, but now it's time I traveled on alone. So grieve a while, if grieve you must, then let your grief be comforted by trust. It's only for a little while that we must part. So bless the memories within your heart. I won't be far away, for life goes on. So if you need me, call and I will come. Though you can't see or touch me, I'll be near. And if you listen with your heart, you'll hear all of my love around you, soft and clear. And then when you must come this way alone, I'll greet you with a smile and say, welcome home.
Good morning and welcome. Welcome family and friends this morning to celebrate the life of Elizabeth, but I know her as Libs McDonald, and it's Arlie, as I've told you, it is a great privilege to be here and to speak for her and celebrate, you know, the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ here this morning. I'd like to read some scriptures. They're listed for you in the bulletin, so you'll know where I'm at. The first one is Romans 6, verses 3 through 10. And excuse me, my bookmark fell out.
It's in the New Testament.
Yes, it is in the New Testament. I do know that. Romans 6, 3 through 10. Do you not know that all of us who have been baptized into Christ were baptized into his death? We were buried, therefore, with him by baptism into death, so that as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, we too might walk in newness of life. For if we have been united with him into a death like his, we shall certainly be united with him in a resurrection like his. We know that our old self was crucified with him so that the sinful body might be destroyed and we might no longer be enslaved to sin. For he who has died is freed from sin. But if we have died with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him. For we know that Christ, being raised from the dead, will never die again. Death no longer has dominion over him. The death he died to sin once for all. But the life he lives to God. The next passage will be from John chapter 14, 1 through 4 and 27 through 29. Let not your hearts be troubled. Believe in God. Believe also in me. In my Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, I would have told you that I go to prepare a place for you. And when I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and will take to you to myself, that where I am you may be also. And you know the way where I am going. And then verses 27 through 29. Peace I leave you. My peace I give to you, not as the world gives, but I give to you. Let not your hearts be troubled, neither let them be afraid. You heard me say to you, I go away and I will come to you. If you loved me, you would have rejoiced, but I go to the Father, for the Father is greater than I. And now I have told you before it takes place, so that when it does take place, you may believe. And then our last call to worship scripture from Deuteronomy chapter 31, verses 5 through 8. And the Lord will give them over to you, and you shall do to them according to all the commandment which I have commanded you. Be strong and of good courage. Do not fear or be in dread of them, for it is the Lord your God who goes with you, and he will not fail you or forsake you. Then Moses summoned Joshua and said to him in the sight of all Israel, "Be strong and of good courage, for you shall go with this people into the land which the Lord has sworn to their fathers to give them, and you shall put them in possession of it. It is the Lord who goes before you. He will be with you. He will not fail you or forsake you. Do not fear or be dismayed." I'm going to ask you if you will stand, and there's an insert in your bulletin this morning as we sing "The Church in the Wildwood."
Church.
Heavenly Father, we are gathered here today to glorify your name, the name of the risen Christ, and the presence of the Holy Spirit. We pray for his presence here that he may provide comfort and point us in our gaze to heavenly things this morning. We are grateful for family and friends. May you provide us a blessing as we grieve, as we remember, as we hear your word. May it be active in our hearts, and may you impart to us faith and grace and mercy as well. For we pray in Christ's name. Amen. You may be seated. Psalm 27. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the stronghold of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? When evildoers assail me, uttering slanders against me, my adversaries and foes, they shall stumble and fall. Though a host encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. Though war arise against me, yet I will be confident. One thing I have asked of the Lord, and that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord, and to inquire in his temple. For he will hide me in his shelter in the day of trouble. He will conceal me under the cover of his tent. He will set me high upon a rock. And now my head shall be lifted up above my enemies round about me, and I will offer in his tent sacrifices with shouts of joy. I will sing and make melody to the Lord. Hear, O Lord, when I cry aloud. Be gracious to me and answer me. Thou hast said, seek my face. My heart says to thee, thy face, Lord, do I seek. Hide not thy face from me. Turn not thy servant away in anger. Thou who hast been my help, cast me not off. Forsake me not, O God of my salvation. For my father and my mother have forsaken me, but the Lord will take me up. Teach me thy way, O Lord, and lead me on a level path because of my enemies. Give me not up to the will of my adversaries, for false witnesses have risen against me, and they breathe out violence. I believe that I shall see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Wait for the Lord. Be strong and let your heart take courage. Yea, wait for the Lord. We have some family members that are going to offer some remembrances. So, Pat, I want to invite you up to share with us.
Morning, everybody. Anyone who hasn't met me, my name's Patrick Glenn Osborne. I'm one of Libs' two grandchildren, obviously named after Grandpa Glenn to me, who I unfortunately never had the pleasure of meeting, but I did get to know Grandma Libs very well. My sister and I spent every summer at 106 Primrose, and it's where some of my earliest and fondest memories come from, and I say that with all sincerity, and I'm glad that we had a chance to get to know my grandmother so well, and she did so much for us, and I'm going to miss her, and I hope that we can keep forming new memories with my Aunt Arlie and Uncle Doug, and I'll always remember Grandma Libs, and she was just an absolutely phenomenal grandmother. I called her stereotypical grandmother, and Uncle Doug said she was a Norman Rockwell grandma, and I think that's a perfect way of putting it. She's like something out of the movies, and I just am so glad we got to spend so much time with her. And my sister couldn't be here today, but I do have something short that she wrote that I'm going to read for you guys. And her name is Elizabeth Osborne, named after Grandma Libs. And so I'm going to read this real quick, and then I'll get out of your hair. She says, I should have said this years ago, but thank you. This is not a goodbye. It's a thank you for being in my life and loving me. And thank you for all the memories I will cherish forever. And I think she said a lot more succinctly than I could have, but I'm going to miss Grandma Libs a lot, and I think everyone in here will. And like I said, I'm really glad we got to spend so much time together. And she was just the best. And thank you all for coming here. I think that's all for me.
I'm going to invite my wife, Beth Brown. I just want to add one remembrance as Beth comes on up. I met my wife and Libs on the same evening. And that was the evening that Hurricane David was about to strike Jacksonville, Florida. And a friend that I had met in college said, come on over to our house. We lived out by the beach. And as I went over there, there was this gorgeous 17-year-old girl that I fell in love with. But that night I met Libs and Glenn. And so I've known them. I knew Aunt Libs exactly as long as I've known my wife. So I wanted to share that with you. Beth, share with us.
So good morning, everyone. I'm Beth. And my mother is Patty Hazlett. She is first cousin? Okay. I always knew cousin, but so she was first cousin to Libs. So this is memories of my mother's that she wrote that I'm going to read. So, This is Patty Campbell Hazlett, Memories of Libs Englehart McDonald. Libs was a wonderful person and a very special person to me. Neither of us had a sister, so she was my big sister while we were growing up. We would spend our summers together. She would come to my house in Mount Lebanon, and I would go to Glenshaw to be with her. When my brother Bob was killed in World War II, she was there for me. In fact, we all spent the first Christmas with her family in Glenshaw. She never forgot him on Memorial Day and would call me every year and say she remembered Bob. We were in each other's weddings, and she was there for me when Chuck went over to Korea after we were married. Our families became very close, Libs and Glenn with their two girls and our three children. The kids were all close. Lowry and Beth used to spend hours with their Barbie dolls under Lib's old-fashioned bed, as I reminded Patrick that we used to do that. In later life, after our kids were gone and married, we continued to see each other. We had moved to Florida, and they came to see us often. Glenn's health had started to fail, and he was on home dialysis, but it didn't keep him down. A special memory was a trip we took to the Keys. We spent a week in a condo at Key West and had a wonderful time. Glenn did everything. And I was there, and Glenn was amazing, doing everything. Our last trip with Libs and Glenn was to Williamsburg, Virginia, Busch Gardens Park. Our son Bill was playing in a German band there, and Libs and Glenn always enjoyed hearing him play. I saw Libs 10 years ago when she flew down to Florida for my 80th birthday. She was here for a week and we laughed and reminisced together. I will always treasure that time with Libs. The last time we were together was at a Bethune wedding in Wilmington, North Carolina in 2015. We will all miss Libs. We all have wonderful memories, and what a blessing she was to all of us. And I just want to say that I agree with all of that. She was such a wonderful lady, and she was my favorite aunt. As I told Arlie, I love Libs. She was just such a special person. So.
Good morning. Thank you all for being here. And I will start by saying that I will not try to be brief. Daughter, sister, cousin, wife, mother, mother-in-law, grandmother, Libs had many roles, and she cherished every one of them. But at the root of all of these relationships, as well as those that didn't come from blood, birth, or marriage, was friendship. Libs was a friend to everyone and lived by the phrase she learned as a child from her mother, "He who has 1,000 friends has not a friend to spare, but he who has one enemy will meet him everywhere. She had so many friends because she worked at cultivating relationships and focusing on others. Towards the end, when she struggled to remember names and even faces, she referred to everyone as her friend. And she was right. Friendship to Libs meant always thinking of others and putting someone before herself. She offered prayers and support, rides to the airport or the doctor's office. She mailed cards. She visited homes, hospitals, nursing facilities. She made phone calls. She made meals and that infamous coffee cake. Whatever she thought would be helpful for someone else was always her goal. Often I would arrange to be with Mother during her lunchtime, and sometimes she needed a little help and I would feed her. And one day I gave her a few minutes to finish what she was chewing in her mouth and I looked away. When I looked back, she had a spoonful of food pointed at me and she said, "Here, this is for you." So it was always about somebody else with Libs. When Libs was in intensive care after a very serious car accident, the first thing she said to me was, "Now there's a list of names on the coffee table by the couch at home. Would you please give those to the minister and tell him those are the people he needs to call and visit?" I did that, and the minister was not the least bit surprised and said that she often reminded him who was in need of a call and who should be visited. About 20 years ago, Libs suffered a large financial setback, and she blamed herself and had a lot of guilt about the loss. None of it was her fault. But we sat down and tried to reevaluate her lifestyle and see if there were some changes that we could make without really having a big impact on her quality of life. And Mother's only question to me was, "Will I still have enough money to buy cards and postage stamps? Because sending those greetings really gives me joy." During her last years, I came to understand how much those cards must have meant to other people, because the cards that she received meant so much. Many times she didn't understand who sent the card. She didn't understand what it meant, but it gave me something new to talk about with her when we visited, and I am forever grateful for those who never forgot a simple card or a note. Obviously, the heart of my relationship with Libs is that she is my mother. The very best mother in the whole wide world, as I reminded her daily during our last few years. When Larry was a freshman in college, she came home from her first break and she said something like, "Wow, Mom, I really owe you an apology. I didn't appreciate you enough because I thought everybody's mother was like you. Boy, was I wrong. Thank you." Truer words were never spoken. Libs graduated from Shaler High School and she earned her bachelor's and master's degree from Pitt. She was a proud alumni of both institutions and served on her high school reunion committee for 55 years. She was a stay-at-home mom for most of our growing up years. She returned to work full-time when I was in high school with the goal of making some extra money to defray college costs. And she left the workforce 6 months after Larry graduated from college. Mom was good at her job, she was respected and dedicated, and she received promotions and accolades. But being with her family and friends was her true passion, and she was happy not to be working at a career any longer. Libs had rules, and as long as we didn't push the envelope too far, those rules were made to be broken. She was not a strict disciplinarian. Her favorite line was, "I have the wooden spoon. Don't make me come up those stairs." We learned very quickly that she really meant that. She had no desire to come up those stairs, and she never did. But she was also not one of those "wait till your father gets home" kind of mothers. She resolved everything before he got home. When he pulled in the driveway, the TV was turned off, the phone was hung up, the dandelion heads had been plucked, the mail was on the kitchen table, and she had managed to get a shower and have dinner waiting. When he got home, he was the center of our world by her design. After dinner, they would do the dishes together. She would wash, he would dry, and they would discuss the events of their day. Libs and Glenn were a good pair. They paid bills together, they parented together, they planned trips together, and while they had a lot of friends and they loved to entertain, they were really very happy just being with each other. Libs was loving, caring, understanding, forgiving. So many characteristics that it's really almost funny on the few occasions that she actually did lose her temper. She never did it often enough to get really very good at it. And
you just kind of laughed it off, but if you're the one who caused her to lose her temper, you really wanted to fix it quickly because she was the one person that you didn't want to disappoint. Libs was also a peacekeeper and tried to keep situations on an even keel. She was patient and tolerant and always took the high road. Dad was very good at just letting Mom do the things she wanted to do for other people. Sometimes he didn't understand who or why or how, but he knew that it was a source of her happiness, and so he just didn't interfere. As a trade-off for being able to stay at home with her girls, Mother did a lot of work around the house. Since Dad was working, she didn't want to have to do more work when she didn't want him to have to do more work when he came home. She painted, she did yard work, she shoveled snow, she reupholstered furniture, she made draperies, and until we started to protest, she made almost all of our clothes for us. We were fortunate to take a family vacation every year, and Mother stayed up into the wee hours of the morning packing the car before our departures so that our driver, Dad, could be well rested. She also always made sure to have sweaters and blankets in the car because the driver needed to be comfortable, and that meant the rest of us were freezing. As children, Larry and I took dancing lessons. Mother sat in the back of the room and wrote down the dance steps so that we would be able to practice when we got home. She also shared those with mothers who couldn't come to the rehearsals. Today we would just videotape it on our phones, but back then she would write front, back, one, front, back, two, front, back, three, step, step, step. Can you imagine that? Every Christmas, Mother washed and ironed all of our baby doll clothes, and our dolls were beautifully dressed near the tree on Christmas morning. We were active in different things, and Mother was always a happy chauffeur. Church activities, school clubs and committees, Tam o' Shanter art classes, play practices. Our home was always open to our friends, and we even built homecoming floats in our garage. When grandchildren Patrick and Elizabeth came along, Libs vowed that she would not be the faraway grandmother that the kids didn't know. She was in Florida for both of their births and their first several birthdays and Christmases. When they were about 5 or 6, Mother started bringing them to Pittsburgh for several weeks in the summer. She loved having them with her, loved showing them off, and loved showing them Pittsburgh and their Glenshaw heritage. When I was in Buffalo, she even drove them up there from Pittsburgh to visit me. Mother had a quick wit and was pretty good with a retort or a comeback. She was good at dishing it out, but she also had broad shoulders and had no problem being the brunt of a joke. Sadly, she unknowingly provided us a lot of opportunities to tease her. On her way to a birthday party, she fell and broke her arm, and Doug took her to the ER. Coincidentally, she and Doug would visit the ER a number of times. She had trouble finding the rear window defogger on a car and never lived it down because it was right in front of her face the whole time. When Doug and I came back from our honeymoon, we asked how things went, and she said, "Oh, everything was fine except I broke my chainsaw." Through it all, she was able to laugh at herself, but that car accident was the time when she had the last laugh. When we walked in to see her, she was in sort of a holding area after recovering from surgery, and she looked at us with both arms in a cast, and she said, "You're not going to get rid of me that easily." When my father died, Mother said in a state of exasperation, "Just because he died doesn't make him a saint." I have struggled to find a reason that Libs is not a saint. The only shortcoming that came to mind was her love of anything sweet. She loved cake, ice cream, donuts, milkshakes, cookies, chocolate candy, and if a treat was placed in her room while she wasn't there, it was the first thing she saw when she walked in the room, no matter where it was. She was drawn to it like a magnet. When presented with a box of chocolates, her eyes would grow large and she would look with joy as if having seen it for the first time. And before taking one or two pieces, she would look up with those childlike eyes and say, "You know I like these." M&Ms were a staple in her room, and I would give her a few at a time, explaining to her that they were her emergency medicine and that she should save them until she needed them. Sometimes she would eat them all at once. Sometimes she would
eat them one at a time and stretch it out a little longer. One day she looked right into my eyes very seriously and she said, "Well, this is an emergency." Mother's middle name was Shaw, and she was a direct descendant of the Shaws of Glenshaw. This was obviously a source of pride for her, and like everything else, she wanted to share it with others. When an old home in the area would be sold, Libs would write a letter to the new owners and introduce herself and tell them about their house. Many people, though, invited her to the house to learn more, and she always was happy to oblige, which was another way that she made friends. A big part of the Glenshaw history and heritage is this church. The only church ever Libs ever belonged to, she was baptized and married here. She served as a deacon and an elder as a young woman, sang in the choir. She was also very active in the Women's Association, and she cut pies at the monthly luncheons until 2014. This is the last place where I would bring Libs. It was a place where she was always familiar, she was always comfortable, and it was one of the few places that she never seemed to forget. While this church was a big part of her life, Libs' faith was even more important to her. She was devout in her prayer and daily devotions. She had a quiet and strong belief that was instilled in her by her parents. Her father taught all of us that you don't need to understand. You just need to believe. And that's how Libs lived her life, always stepping out in faith. 6 years ago, we were told that Libs was in need of more care and that she should get on hospice and get into a skilled nursing facility, and we should work on putting her affairs in order. We had 3 weeks. Remember, I said that was 6 years ago. Since that time, she has graduated from hospice, beat pneumonia 3 times, survived 2 falls headfirst out of her wheelchair, and 2 times ate her neighbor's hearing aids. We have celebrated birthdays, holidays, watched fawns and baby birds, enjoyed the beauty of the changing seasons, eaten dozens of donuts, and inhaled many milkshakes. She has hugged puppies and newborn babies and enjoyed visits from friends and family. We laughed and we cried. We have been blessed by every day. People ask why I call her Libs rather than Mom or Mother, and I think that started when I was in high school. At some time, probably around the time that I was in 5th grade, my relationship with Libs transferred from mother to friend. Since that time, she has been my confidant and my best friend. Even when I knew she didn't understand or wouldn't remember, I told her everything. I like to think that she knew me, but I think she just recognized me as a familiar and friendly face. She often told me that she didn't have children, so my being her daughter was impossible in her mind. Hard as that may seem, and it was, I had the comfort of knowing that we were friends to the end. She smiled that big, beautiful smile when she saw me coming down the hall, greeted me with outstretched arms, saying, "Here comes my friend. I love you. I love you too, Mother, my friend."
Thank you, Arlie. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, would you bless our memories? Would you bless the families, family members, and friends here today, and fellow church members, with pleasant and great and lasting memories of Libs? I pray that in Christ's name. Amen. I don't know everybody here. I don't know whether you're from this church or what your tradition is, but often in our church services, we recite what we believe. And one of the things the churches, the members of the Christian church have believed for really almost 2,000 years is the Apostles' Creed. And so we're going to confess the Apostles' Creed together. And if you're not familiar with it or don't know it by memory, just listen and you'll hear just an entire summary of what it means to be a Christian and what we believe. So let us confess the faith of our baptism. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth on the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. If you would stand, we're going to sing another hymn. It's in the insert in your bulletin. He leadeth me, O blessed thought. Seated. Psalm 121. I lift up my eyes to the hills. From whence does my help come? My help comes from the Lord, who made heaven and earth. He will not let your foot be moved. He who keeps you will not slumber. Behold, he who keeps Israel will neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord is your keeper. The Lord is your shade on your right hand. The sun shall not smite you by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord will keep you from all evil. He will keep your life. The Lord will keep your going out and your coming in from this time forth and forevermore. Again, Arlie, thank you for the privilege of ministering today and ministering here. I've worshiped here a couple of times. It's been a while, but it's great to be a part of the tradition, even if it's in a situation like this. It's a great privilege. I'm going to be fairly brief, maybe a little shorter than Arlie, since she's... But six little one-verse passages from the Bible that have helped me over the years make some kind of sense of death. I've wrestled with it. You've wrestled with it. We've seen others of our family and loved ones wrestle with death. It's visited our family. It's visited our churches. And sometimes with not a whole lot of reasonable explanation other than just death comes. Because it's so often unexpected, misunderstood, and feared, sometimes we grow to misunderstand and even mistrust God as death surrounds us and seeks to overwhelm and reorder our lives. The first passage is from the Old Testament, the very serious prophet Ezekiel. And he says this in his 18th chapter, the 32nd verse. He's speaking on behalf of God. He says, "For I have no pleasure in the death of anyone, declares the Lord God." See, God is not a dark or sadistic Lord who derives pleasure in the suffering and devise of men and women, even those who have rebelled against him in life. Some have concluded that God either doesn't care about evil or death, or that he doesn't have the power to do anything about it. God does care. And as Ezekiel tells us, God takes no pleasure in the death of anyone. God is love, and in him there is no darkness at all. God does have the power to do something about it, as we will see in just a few minutes. Which brings us to our second one verse passage, Psalm 116:15. Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints. Now that's one that takes a little bit of grappling with to get our arms of faith around that one. That it's precious when a saint, when a believer in God dies. And that just reminds us that he cares. He notices. He is involved. He is active. He is right there close when we need him the most. The outcome, the other side of the death, is of the utmost value and concern to God. Our third little one verse passage, it's the shortest passage in the Bible. Many of you know which one that is. John 11:35. Jesus wept. He wept at the graveside of Lazarus, his friend, right before he commanded Lazarus to come forth. And this is proof that he does care, that he wept, and that he wept when Libs died. He will weep when we die. I think it's just all we need to know. We don't have to be strong. We don't have to somehow maneuver through it looking a certain way or behaving a certain way. We can weep just as our Savior wept. He said this to Lazarus' sister and all who were gathered there today in our fourth little single verse passage. Jesus said, "I am the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in me, though he die, yet shall he live." Boy, that statement sets Christianity apart from all other religions. It's God proclaiming something that only he can do. Jesus says, "I am the resurrection and the life. This is the proof that he has the power to do something about death. And it's found in his own resurrection. And after dying for the sins of his people, he rose from the dead, conquered death once for all who believe. And so we can know this very day that death has no lasting power for God's people. What a great truth. What a great blessing. What a great comfort that is. Our fifth little one verse is from Romans 5:10. The Apostle Paul tells us, "For if while we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his Son, much more now that we are reconciled, shall we be saved by his life." See, the death and resurrection of Christ is our only hope in the face of such a powerful enemy as death. Death is the great leveler of the playing field for us. No matter what you accomplish, no matter what you have achieved, no matter whether you have a lot of money or a lot of fame or none of that on the other far end of the spectrum, Christ is the only hope for an enduring, lasting humanity made in the image of God. 1 Corinthians 15, Paul says, "Death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is your victory? O death, where is your sting? But thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ." And then our last one this morning, Matthew 5:4, from the Sermon on the Mount, from the Beatitudes, one of the most famous passages throughout the millennium. Jesus said, "Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted." I trust that you've been comforted this morning by his word, by the scripture readings, by the testimonies of family and friends, by just the presence of you showing up, even though there are so many requirements of us this day to show up and be, you know, here in the midst of this pandemic. But praise God that we can be comforted by God, by his word and by his spirit. Comforted by each other, by God's people as we share life and death together. And I'll finish with this passage. Romans 8:35-39. "Who shall separate us from the love of God or the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or sword? As it is written, for your sake we are being killed all the day long. We are regarded as sheep to be slaughtered. No, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am sure that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor rulers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus, our Lord." May God add his blessing to this, his holy word. I'd like to pray the Lord's Prayer, and you can join along with me. We will be using the version, "Forgive us our debts." A lot of traditions will use "trespasses" there, and then we'll add the closing phrase, which is often left out in some of the more modern versions. But let's pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we also have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. If you'll stand, and we'll sing, "My Faith Looks Up to Thee." His master said to him, "Well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful over a little. I will set you over much. Enter into the joy of your master." May the blessings of Almighty God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be upon you and us today as we remember and celebrate the life of Libs McDonald. God bless you. Join the family following this service, which is over now, for a luncheon, and it's over here in McFadden Hall, and you are invited to attend and have a bite to eat and have some fellowship. God bless.